ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Kijai. So text number 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Tada Deva Shri Gandhava Brahme Shana Puro Gamaha Mumuchu Kusuma Saram Samsanta Shamsanta Karma Tadhare Tadadeva Shirkandarva Brahmeshana Purogama Mumuchu Kusuma Saram Shamsanta Karma Tadhare Tadadeva Shigandharva Brahmeshana Purogama Mumuchu Kusuma Saram Shamsanta Karma Tadhare Shukuvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Tada, at that time, when Gajendra was delivered, Devarishi Gandharva, the demigods, sages, and Gandharvas. Brahma Ishana Purogama, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Mumuchu, showered. Kusuma Asaram, a covering of flowers. Shamsanta, while praising. Karma, transcendental activity. Tat, that. Gajendra Mokshana. In other words, Tat is referring to this liberation of Gajendra. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages, and Gandharvas headed by Brahma and Shiva praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is evident from this chapter that great sages like Devala Rishi, Narada Muni, and Agastya Muni will sometimes curse someone. The curse of such a personality, however, is in fact a benediction. Both the crocodile, who had been a Gandharva in his previous life, and Gajendra, who had been a king named Indradyumna, were cursed. But both of them benefited. Indradyumna, in his birth as an elephant, attained salvation and became a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and the crocodile regained his status as a Gandharva. We find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or devotee is not a curse, but a benediction. And there's another verse and purport that are on the same topic, so I thought it might be nice to read them all together. So text 3 and 4. Yoso graha savai sadhya paramascha yarupadrik mukto devalasapena huhur gandharva sattama pranamya shirasadisham utama shloka avyayam aghayata yashodhama kirtanya guna satkatam. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. It's interesting that his name for crocodile is graha. It means to grasp, grab. It's practically that all there is to a crocodile is this big grabbing thing. You know, there's not much else that they call it. They have a big, that's true. That's true, but the essence is the graha. So anyway, the best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the Transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. This name is given here, the Kirtanya Guna Satkatam, the description of Krishna, whose pastimes or qualities are glorious. Purport. The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse indirectly is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of Agastya Muni. Srila Prabhupada. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobisam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakanvitam Shya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavani Shuri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasinavyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is an interesting topic, the curse of sages. We find this in many places in Bhagavatam. The curse of Narada Muni, the curse of Daksha. Like this, different personalities have been apparently cursed. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam has spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, who was cursed. As a result of that curse, we get to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So this particular instance, part of the reason I wanted to read both of these verses is it appears that this King Huhu, who was a Gandharva, it's interesting to note that the Gandharvas also came along with the Lord. I guess they were noticing they were going to get one of their own back. They were going to witness this, one of their own. The best of the Gandharvas being blessed by the Lord in this way. So he was freed from the sins. He had, I guess it'll be described later, but anyway, he committed some offense to Devala Rishi while he was in an enjoying mood. This is often the case, as someone is very highly elevated from one point of view, like the sons of Kuvera were highly elevated also. But the enjoying spirit was there, that I'm enjoying this material world. We see this even surprisingly amongst the denizens of the heavenly planets. And one place Srila Prabhupada comments that the devas are devotees who want to enjoy the material world as devotees. So maybe this rings home for some of us. I'll be a devotee, but in my position as a devotee, let me have some fringe benefits and enjoy this world in a nice way, in a palatial existence. So the enjoying spirit, the propensity to be a little Krishna, a little enjoyer in this material world is very, very deep-rooted. It's our big problem. It is the big problem. So it's not uncommon that we find even Indra, King of Heaven, that we find this enjoying spirit somehow or other. Let me enjoy this material world. Let me find some pleasure, and it can manifest in the form of offenses and in the form of sinful activity of some sort or another. Even very highly exalted personalities fall prey to the, I think Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita, the weakness of the heart, Hridaya Durbalyam, this weakness of the heart to want to enjoy matter. And then when we attempt to enjoy matter, then we become entangled. And actually, one place Srila Prabhupada says that the living entity comes into this material world with this spirit. And because of this spirit, he starts off as Lord Brahma and winds up as the worm in stool, he said. So, of course, Brahma can also become a pure devotee, but even from such an exalted position, the desire to enjoy matter, to be independent controller, is so powerful that it can drag one even from such a position all the way down to the bottom. So it's not a light matter. It's something we're all dealing with. So great saintly persons, sometimes we see these examples that they will curse someone who has this enjoying spirit. And this was a case of Huhu. He was in this enjoying situation, and as a result, he committed some offense. He wasn't conscious. He was a little... That's the nature also of material enjoyment, is it makes one a little intoxicated, a little proud. And it's easy to commit some offense in that situation. So he kindly relieved him of all sources of pride. And he became a crocodile. But one might say, well, he didn't really get much of a benediction, because after all of that, he just had to go back and be a Gandharva again. So, of course, hopefully it would be assumed that he learned a few lessons along the way, and when he got back to that situation, he would be in a better situation. And Srila Prabhupada does confirm this in this next purport, that that he doesn't exactly explain, but that he was delivered to by the personality of Godhead, and he could become one of the associates of the Lord. So although he returned to, apparently from this purport, although he returned to a situation as a Gandharva, it was in a purified state, and he no longer became contaminated by that situation and by that association, and at the end of his time, he returned to the spiritual world. So, this was, again, this was a shortcut. Maybe it would have taken millions of, how does Srila Prabhupada say here? Millions of long years. It would have taken, because he had this mentality so deeply rooted to be an enjoyer, that doesn't, yeah, that doesn't go away. We can, I mean, we see practically the living entity takes millions and millions of births and never gives up, despite frustration in every species. Everywhere along the line, there's pretty strong evidence that we're not really going to be the Lord of the world. The evidence is overwhelming. But as they say, hope springs eternal. It's like the example of who was it, Jarasandha, who was defeated, what was it, 17 times? Just not only defeated, but just wiped out. You know, just his whole thousands of soldiers and everything wiped out. And but he was able to be convinced that it was just bad luck. If you try again, this time you'll defeat Krishna. You just, you know, it's a, you know, everybody has a bad day. In which you're, you know, 15,000 Akshahinis or whatever. It was just a bad day. So, so we're a little like that, you know, that it didn't work last time. In the last birth, you know, it all got taken away and you were left with nothing and, you know, had to face again another birth. But this time, you know, actually you see that in children. They come into this world very enthusiastic that, oh, you know, they all appear to be little Krishnas, you know, with their... Not all. There's some pretty... not every child takes such a nice birth, but Bhaktivinoda describes this when someone has a good birth, that, you know, he was saying that while I was in the womb, I was thinking, oh, all this time, this time I'll worship you. You know, this time I'll come out and I won't get distracted. But then he says, but then again, I came out and my father and mother were smiling and patting me nicely. And whenever I would cry, they would be there to help with whatever I needed. And what does he say? I pass my time simply smiling like that. Oh, such a cute child. So again, the illusion is so powerful. And actually, one time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? That's the difficulty the Mayavad philosophy has with this. They're focus is, let me get free from illusion, because I continuously fall into illusion, and I keep doing these, you know, stupid things and get myself in trouble. I keep wanting to enjoy. So let me get, you know, free from illusion. Neti, neti, neti. It's not this, it's not that. But why do we continuously become covered by Maya? Is it just lack of knowledge? But no, it's the, you know, it's our, what did Prabhupada say one place? Causeless aversion to Krishna. There's causeless devotional service and there's causeless aversion to Krishna. We don't really have any reason not to like Krishna, but this is our difficulty. So we become again and again covered. So really the point is to become a devotee of Krishna. Yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tayasta bhava davishuddha buddhaya. What's the next one? Aruya krachena paramparam tata patantido nadviti shmarangriya. If we don't actually, in our heart of hearts, take shelter of Krishna, then again we will come down. So here, Prabhupada's explaining that simply going on as a Gandharva, this propensity would not have been taken care of, even after millions and millions of long years. But because of this curse, he was placed in a very, very difficult situation. He burned up a lot of sinful activities, and he got the mercy of the Lord. So this was actually a great benediction, because he would come down anyway. He would lose it all anyway. What's the Bhagavad Gita? Patantido. No, that's another one. Katagatam kama kamala bhanti. That verse, it describes how the living entity performs sacrifices and is elevated to the heavenly. Chine punye martyalokam vishanti. Then when they are elevated to the heavenly planets, they enjoy there for a very, very long period of time, but their pious activities run out, and again, they're back here. So he would lose this all anyway. It's just a matter, it's just a question of time. We will certainly lose everything, whatever we have, will be taken away. So if by the mercy of the devotee or the curse of the devotee, we can become freed from the enjoying propensity and become purified, then this is actually the greatest benediction. I was remembering this one time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. You know, and sometimes he would speak about becoming dogs and hogs and things like this. And so there was one young hippie that took exception to how Prabhupada was maligning the dogs, you know. Apparently, actually he's not maligning the dogs, he's maligning our tendency to... Anyway, dogs are okay. It's anyway. But this one young man, he raised his hand at the end of the class, and he said, "What's so bad about becoming a dog? I wouldn't mind becoming a dog." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You have my blessings." So, anyway, we don't exactly want those kind of blessings, I don't suppose. Most of us aren't praying to Srila Prabhupada for that blessing, I don't believe. I don't know what happened either. It'd be interesting to see what his destination was. But, and also the Lord himself sometimes takes away things. There's that famous verse, yasyaham anugrinami harise taddinam shanai. And it's interesting in that verse, he doesn't do this for everyone, only to those who he shows special mercy. Ordinarily, we go on. Before karmani nirdhati kintu chabhakti bhajan, the first part of that. Yaschinda gopam atavendra mahosa karma bandur Bandhana Rupa Palabhajana Matinoti. He just gives. If you've got something coming, here it is. You know, some good pious activity, live in the heavenly kingdom for a few million years. Enjoy, take it. And when it's up, take that. So he just gives. He's not partial. You're committing your good and bad activities, your fruit of activities, your karma. You reap the results. He's not partial. He just gives that. But karma adi nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. But when one is engaged in devotional service, he kindly burns up to the roots the sinful activities. Actually, in the purport to that verse by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains that how the Lord burns up this karma, and he mentions by the fire of ordeal. So may not be just automatic. There may be something going on there. So, but this is all the Lord's mercy. That's the point, because actually we want to get out of here. So, and yasyaham anugrinani, when he's especially merciful, he doesn't just give the results of our activities, but he pulls us to him somehow or other. He pulls away our false designations, because our pride and our desire to enjoy this material world can only exist in illusion. If we actually see our position as spirit souls, if we see that we have nothing, if we see that we're completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, that we have no independent power, that we can't do anything, we have no control even over our own body. We can desire only. And sometimes by the Lord's grace, by the Lord's arrangement, we can fulfill those desires and appear to have certain powers, and sometimes we have no powers, no ability, no memory, no nothing. So we can only, the nature of the material energy is to give us this facility to think that we're independent enjoyers, independent lords, and we can only maintain the enjoying spirit by the mercy of illusion. By the grace of illusion, we can think like this. But because the desire is so strong within our heart, so Krishna says, okay, so be an illusion. You know, you can be an illusion. And sometimes it's amazing that a person will practice. I won't give away the punchline yet. We'll study this more when we get to describing Gajendra and how he was in his situation. But he didn't even commit an offense. He was on the spiritual path. Prabhupada says he was faultless. But still, apparently, material desire was there. This isn't hard to understand. I believe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote Madhurya Kadambini. Is that right? He describes there that the even after sinful activities are finished, still there's an aparad is present in the consciousness of the living entity, even up to the stage of bhava. Is that, I believe, if I remember correctly, there's some slight covering. Tendency is there, even up to such a stage. So the process of purification of anartha nivritti goes on over a long, long phase, even up to a very exalted position. This is why we see sometimes great personalities have to take apparent deviations, like Bart Maharaj is an example. And Gajendra, we'll read also, is an example of being in exalted positions, apparently getting close, and then taking an apparent detour and being placed in a very ignorant position, not even remembering their spiritual life. Or, of course, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he did remember. In the case of Gajendra, he didn't even remember. until the crucial point. So a completely helpless situation. Apparently a big fall down, right? If one of our god brothers, you know, had become an elephant, we'd, oh, Prabhu. What happened? You were worshipping Gornitai and now look at you. This would be a pretty, we'd think, oh, you've really lost it. So we can't know. Therefore, Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita, we should, you know, someone's engaged in devotional service, that they're considered saintly because the Lord is taking care of them. The Lord is watching them on their journey. He's guiding their steps. Even they may fall into illusion and have to go through so many nasty situations, apparently horrible situations, being engaged in sense gratification and so on. These things, we see it happens even here in the Bhagavatam. Even sometimes it might not be the fault of the devotee. Another example is, who was a devotee that was cursed by Parvati? And he became the demon, Chitraketu, right? And he became a big demon and was killed by Indra. And during the course of that, Indra realized, oh, he's a better devotee than I am. And he said, yeah, just go ahead and kill me. You know, I won't fight, you know. I need to be killed by you so I can be liberated. So things aren't always what they appear. That's the point. But the devotee, we should have this faith. And Srila Prabhupada makes this point very strongly in this chapter, that the devotee is always under the protection of the Lord. After all, we're helpless. We can't, by our own power and you know, whatever, scholasticism, so on and so forth, deliver ourselves. Of course, we should endeavor with whatever Krishna has given us. We shouldn't be negligent. This is not the point. If Krishna has given us some ability and to serve him, and we try more and more to serve him, then he'll give us more and more ability, and we'll be more and more firmly situated in devotional service. This is our endeavor. And just like we're chanting japa, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, our endeavor, Srila Prabhupada would often say, our endeavor is simply to hear. Simply to hear Krishna's name. That's a great endeavor, not to listen to the mind, but to hear, actually hear and be present in the holy name. That's a great endeavor. But as far as what happens beyond that, that's up to Krishna. Now we do our part, and the rest is up to Krishna. We can't control him. We're not the masters of the holy name. We're not the masters of anything. So, but we can do our part. But still, we should have this confidence. And even if you know our road takes a turn, and probably anyone that's been around a few years is. Seen some turns in the road. I remember at one point I was, you know, managing a temple, and then later on I remember finding myself selling something, and I was out in the middle of nowhere, and I was thinking, how did this happen? You know, I was worshiping the deities, and now I'm in the middle of Mississippi, you know, driving a truck and selling some things, you know, in some vain attempt to maintain my family. What happened, you know? I was thinking of Lord Jesus Christ, you know, oh my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? You know? These thoughts were going through my mind, you know. Just being honest. It was for me to learn something, undoubtedly. The devotional service isn't only there, it's everywhere. Krishna's everywhere. And Krishna's guiding our steps, even we don't know how or what is happening, how this happened, why Krishna. Sometimes things happen we don't know for years. You know, we think, I should have learned something from this. What was it? You know, something happens. And, There's undoubtedly a lesson here that maybe in a few more births I'll understand what that lesson was. So Krishna's, you know, pulling us through various stages of material life, sometimes giving us things, sometimes taking things away. But this is all his mercy, his causeless mercy. Yes, yaham anugrihinami. Even Srila Prabhupada describes that because he was thinking, I'll become a very wealthy man, I'll have this business, and he was very successful. He was a very intelligent business person. He's a Calcutta boy, he described himself, wise to the ways of the world, and he was a good businessman. But at one point it was all taken away, and it wasn't his fault. It wasn't that he just messed up. There's one class where he was speaking, and he said, sometimes you will see, oh, he is doing something against my will. He was just like a little child almost, you know. Oh, Krishna's doing something against my will, you know. So Krishna took his whole business away. And he said he was horrified. He described himself like that. He was horrified. He didn't want to take sannyas. But he said, now I see that Krishna's given me so much. So he's given me so much more. So this is the amazing path of the devotees on their way back to Godhead, and always tate nukampa shushamikshamano bunjana eva makritam vipakam vidvag vipurbir vidadan namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadai bhak. It's kind of the theme of this chapter, to go on worshipping the Lord with your heart, with your soul, with your words, with everything. And he will surely deliver you. He will take care of you. He's always taking care of us. And even we can't understand how or why, but he's looking out for us. So maybe we'll stop here. Thank you for allowing me to purify myself a little bit by speaking. Any questions or comments? Prajapati Puru.
Yes, sir. Your remarks about the hippie who was wanting to be a dog reminded me of a pastime that I thought I'd share with the group.
Please.
We were driving in the car with Srila Prabhupada after a morning walk, and he saw a former servant of his sitting on the curb. And he asked, what is he doing now? And one person in the car said, oh, Prabhupada, he's selling jewelry now. Prabhupada muttered, he will take birth as a mouse.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, that devotee was shot by another devotee for having run off with that devotee's wife.
Oh, my God.
So, take birth as a mouse.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. I don't have any comment on that one. It's a dangerous place. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That we can say. It's a dangerous place.
That's true. So first, this Huhu was a Gandharva, and then he became a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
And then he resumed his position as a Gandharva, but after some time as a Gandharva, then he went back to Godhead. Is that...
Well, I was curious about that because I didn't... I was thinking, well, if you just, that's not much of a benediction, you know. but it says that somehow or other he was benedicted, but it appears apparently like he just went, you know, he was cursed and then he was freed from that and became a Gandharva again, because that's what it says, that he regained his status. But I'm just inferring from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Because he says here, however, because that it would have taken him millions of long years to become an associate of the Lord. But Prabhupada says, however, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world. So, to become one of the Lord's associates. So I would take it that after his birth as a Gandharva, he returned to the spiritual world. That's, I mean, maybe there's somebody has some more insight. But,
it also says the best of the Gandharva, does it refer to Huhu?
Yeah, to Huhu. Yeah, he was some, it'll be described more, but yeah, he was a very exalted, prominent Gandharva. Yeah, that was Huhu. So, anything else? So you have a very nice community of devotees here. I'm very, very happy to meet some of you and have your holy association.
Oh, one more. I was just wondering how the story of the fight between the elk and the crocodile was brought up.
Well, I don't want to give away the punchline, but it's coming up. Well, just as Gandharva was cursed to take birth as a crocodile in the, what was the name of this lake? What, this place where the assault took place? I forget. In the Deva resort. Trikuta. Yeah, it was the Trikuta mountain range. And there were, that's where the Devas would live and enjoy pastimes and roar like lions, it describes, and really, you know, get their enjoyment. So somehow or other, this Huhu, he was cursed to be a crocodile in this lake where they were sporting. And when the Gajendra entered into that lake and was splashing with the elements, he was, well, you were saying he invaded his space. I don't know if it's exactly stated like that or not, but somehow or other he took exception to the fact that this big elephant was in his water, and so he came and, is that what you're asking? He came and but it appears that that's an interesting point, though, actually, that there wasn't any real reason for enmity between them. But they had this karmic destiny together to meet in this wonderful way. Sometimes we meet people like that also. We appear to meet as enemies, but there is a purpose. Sorry.
It was more so, why was Sri Shukadev talking about this story?
Oh, how did he come? I don't remember that. Do you? How he came to describe this pastime? I don't remember, honestly. Sorry. It's been a while since I read the whole Leela, and I'm sure it's in here somewhere, but my Kali Yuga memory is not. Sorry.
Just one comment. As you were describing that graha, the word graha means crocodile, and you quoted that verse regarding Krishna when he's favorable upon a devotee who may be attached and...
Oh, yeah. You know, anugrihnami.
Anugrihnami is the same root.
Yeah.
So either you get grabbed by the crocodiles in this world, or you get grabbed by Krishna.
Right.
We have a choice.
Yeah, right. That's nice. Anugrihnami.
Sometimes it's described that Krishna has Makara Kundala, shark-shaped earrings, but sometimes that Makara is translated as crocodile as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Certainly expert at taking away. What do they say? The Lord has 10 arms, and when he takes away with his 10 arms, you can't hold on with your 2. Yeah. That's nice. Anugrihnami.
With regards to the offenses, you were mentioning that offenses are usually precipitated by some sort of enjoying spirit, tendency that we have to turn away from Krishna. So the word aparatha actually means that, literally, to turn away from the process of worship or to turn away from Radha.
Right.
So.
Nice point. Aparatha. Against Radha. Yeah. Okay. good.
It's all the inconceivable that they fought for thousands.
1,000 years.
It's all inconceivable.
Yeah, it is. I would have been finished in a couple seconds. Have you ever seen crocodiles? We're living in Florida. we've had our experience with these grana of one species or another. These are alligators. They're a little different from crocodiles. But they definitely have the big grana. Yeah, I don't know. Except that it's a different time. Yeah, it's not only you were, it's described here that the devas were also amazed. They're watching this fight going on, and even the, you know, all the devas, they were like, wow, this is amazing. So, yeah, it is amazing. Of course, one explanation is that the time frame is different. That, you know, that, of course, I don't know whose time frame this is on.
Yeah. So it's in Swarga.
Swarga. So yeah. Thousands, 1,000 years on the time frame, which is like millions of years, according to our calculation.
So another thing is that although they each took birth as an elephant or as a crocodile, but they weren't ordinary elephant and crocodile.
That's
Swarga Loka.
That's for sure.
Yeah. King of the elephants.
King of the elephants, yeah. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, it's amazing. Bigger than life. One of these animation companies should take this up. Yeah. And they could do something really far out with this story.
It's a lot of stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be great. So, thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada ki jaya, jaya Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Samadhi Prabhupada ki jaya.